We're going to go ahead and jump right in. It's been an interesting morning. We had a good Sunday school class and good discussion. And it's just, you can tell at times when there's distractions and just things happening, like, man, Satan's working right now. Something big is going to happen, right? Something big is going to happen. That doesn't mean that something big is going to happen from the pulpit necessarily. It could be just with, you know, you guys out there talking with each other today, encouraging each other, praying for each other. Maybe the Lord does a miracle and Angela's brother today because we were all faithful to pray for him. That's a big deal. It's a big thing, and we want to pray that the Lord would do a miracle, especially in his heart, and use this for good in his life, to bring him close to the Lord and close to his son. Really, the greatest miracle, the best thing of all, is what we were just singing. We're a child of God. We could go out, cast out demons, we can go and heal the sick, raise the dead, but Jesus says, "Don't worship for those reasons. Don't be all excited about that. Be excited that you're a child of God. Amen. Praise the Lord that you're His child, and that's why we rejoice. And nothing's going to change that. So praise the Lord for that. We worship Him, and we're excited about that. Amen. But for this morning, I said last week that I wanted to do some sermons on family, on marriage, and I've been just praying about that this week. I've got a stack of books on my desk, and I'm like, man, before I even try to attempt this, I should read all those books and study. And it would make me anxious thinking about it. And it would make me doubtful, but I just had to come to the conclusion that I just need to share what the Lord has taught me right now. And in a little bit, I'm going to give opportunity for a few others to share that have been married for longer than me. But, you know, at seminary, when I was there at seminary, you're in the classroom, you're given, you know, 10 books to read, and you sit there, you just try to soak it all in and read these books, but honestly, being here with the church and living and breathing and ministering with all of you is, I've learned way more than in the classroom. Not to say don't go to seminary if the Lord is calling you there, but where you learn is living and breathing with the body of Christ. That's where you're really going to learn and really going to grow. But one thing that I cherish and I'm very thankful for from seminary is that they were heavy on teaching the students to be very mindful of your family. Be very mindful of your marriage. Don't let ministry lead you to neglect your family. And they stressed that. We had classes, marriage conferences. It was just, that was thrown at us. You need to have a healthy family. Because honestly, as a pastor, that's one of the requirements of being a pastor. If your family's a mess, then it's the only job that says your family is not in order, therefore you are not qualified for this position. It says that in 1 Timothy, and that's not just for pastors, it's for elders and for deacons. That qualification is there. A high standard. But we all should seek to have biblical families, healthy families. But just some examples of what they taught us. I'm just going to throw this one out right now. I was debating on saying it, but it's something that has helped me with my family ministry. So, as a pastor, things could change. The Lord could call me somewhere else. I could get voted out. And I sometimes think, why you guys haven't done that yet? Seriously, I think that sometimes. There's been times I'm just like, man. But this, you know, my family here, and this is my church family that I'm committed to, but that could change. The people that will be with me the rest of my life are my family. My immediate family. My extended family. I'm going to stay connected with them for the rest of my life. And Lord willing, I'll be here with you the rest of my life. That's our desire. That's my desire. But for sure, my family's going to be with me. And so I can't neglect them. I can't let ministry push them out. I can't do that. And so they stress that in seminary. And that has helped me. That has helped me to keep my priorities correct, focused on ministering to my family too. And we heard things like about prominent theologians that wrote books and they're famous and we're still reading their books and they've been, you know, gone for 100 years, 50 years. And you hear the testimony of their wives, and their wives say, well, that theologian, my husband who passed on, couldn't think of how to say it, I know he loved theology, I know he loved the Lord, but my new husband, the one I'm married to right now, I know that he loves me. And so, praise God, we've got wonderful theological books, and many of those men are godly men who love their wives. But hearing that made me think, okay, what's my party going to be? I want my wife to know that I love her. I don't want ministry to cause me to neglect my wife. And you know what? Honestly, the same is true for you guys too, right? You don't want your jobs to make you neglect your wife. You don't want... name it. You don't want anything to get in the way of your wife knowing that you love her dearly. I've got a list of things here. I'm just going to go through it. Cultivating a strong marriage, important, so important. You need to have a strong marriage because if you're going into the ministry, it's going to be hard. It's going to be lonely. You guys need to have a strong bond. You bear your soul with each other. Be honest with each other. Be open about things. They told us this. One of the most common reasons that pastors leave the ministry is because their wives are unhappy being in the ministry. They don't want to be there. It's too much. They just don't want to be in the fishbowl, everyone watching them all the time. Have a strong relationship with your spouse. Encourage her. Be open. Have an honest communication. There's more. I mean, these are things that they taught. Don't get emotionally attached to someone else of the opposite sex. Okay? Don't open yourself up emotionally and intimately in that way. It's called emotional adultery. And it leads to physical adultery. It's just that first step in getting there. So don't do it. Have intimate, open relationship with your spouse, but not with opposite sex outside of your marriage. It's a guard. It's a protection. So we're talking about marriage right now, okay? And so we need to go to the basics. I realized that this morning in our Sunday school class. Got to get down to the basics, okay, of this marriage. God established it in the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, okay, before there was any sin. Marriage was meant to be one of the greatest blessings that God has given us. How many young people today know that? Marriage is an amazing gift, an amazing blessing from God. Marriage is one of the strongest promises that you can make. It's called a covenant. Who God has joined together, let no one separate. It's meant to last forever, for a lifetime. It's meant to last for a lifetime and not to be separated. It's meant to be a blessing. That's the really the nitty-gritty basics of marriage. But then when it comes to marriage and family, you know, these things are going through my head that the Lord was showing me this week. I guess I should start here. I should say this. I'm going to talk about things right now, like wives, respect your husbands. That's what Scripture teaches. Wives, respect your husbands. But I realized this week that for those wives who have been damaged, who've been abused, who've been neglected, who have hurts because of husbands, you do not go right to wives, respect your husbands. All right? And which is what I'm going to be talking about today, but I got to say this first, okay? We need to have empathy. We need to understand that people are hurting and they're in pain because of their marriages. We've got to start there. And if that's true, we need to pray for them. We need to love them. We need to encourage them. We need to find out what happened. If you have that kind of a relationship with them, what happened? What damage was done? Let's bring this into the light. Let's take this to the Lord. Let's walk through this together. We're gonna find healing in Jesus' name and in the Lord and in His Word right now. And in these weeks, in these coming weeks or months, and we're gonna settle in and do this. And after there's been some healing, then we go and we say, look, the Scripture teaches, respect your husbands. The same can be true vice versa. We have to have empathy. I need to have empathy. We were talking about art of neighboring and talking about hospitality. Opening up our home, inviting people into our homes. But a Christian home and a Christian marriage should be the most beautiful thing on this earth. It should be beautiful and a blessing. A place where love and service and forgiveness reign. And the beauty of that should radiate so that when we do show hospitality and invite people in our home, that glory of God is radiating out of our homes, out of our marriage. That genuine beauty. Our homes should be like a Camelot for the kingdom of God. It's a stronghold for His kingdom. husbands, you're the ones who are responsible that this is true of your home and that these things are true of your marriage. Husbands are the spiritual leaders. You're to be the pastors of your home. You are responsible for the spiritual well-being of your family. Wives, you're responsible to encourage your husbands in that role of being the spiritual leader. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 15. And just a reminder, tonight, Pastor Bob is going to be teaching on these very verses. And so come tonight to hear what the Lord has shown Pastor Bob from these verses. And in fact, maybe you can share some a little bit this morning, a little later, Pastor Bob. But Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying," he said these things, okay, I put the wrong verse down, Paul. I did a Paul this morning. These are good verses, but I wanted to get to 18. "Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." And then in verse 15 it says, it's talking about how, which was what I was just reading, "The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it." These verses are foundational. These are the beginning. And we find things in Genesis that God establishes for all of us. But we see in verse 15 that man is to dress and keep the garden. And to dress means to work and to serve. So Adam was to work to keep the garden and to serve the Lord in doing that. He was called to do that. And then to keep means to watch, to guard, to protect. That was Adam, that was man's responsibility. And we saw earlier too, God tells Adam, "Of every tree you can eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you are not to eat of that tree." All right, that's the one command that he had. Don't eat of that tree. All right? Don't do it. That's the only sin that he could commit, was to eat from that tree. But we see from that, just in these first verses, that the key roles of men and of husbands and fathers is that we work. And by working, we provide. All right? We provide for our families. We protect. Our job is to protect our spouses, our families. And Adam was given the responsibility to not eat from the tree. And we see that man is given the responsibility to be the spiritual leader. The spiritual leader. So those three things are foundational. We see them right in Genesis. And then we see God creates Eve, who main purpose is to be a helper, is to help Adam, to help him in his dominion, to help him in the work that he does in the land, to encourage him. And we see also in Genesis chapter 1 that the purpose of the marriage is to multiply, to have children, to be fruitful and multiply. And so we see just the role of the woman in the beginning in Genesis 2 in the Garden of Eden, before there was sin, God's good design to bring blessing on all of mankind, to bring blessing on all of creation, was for men to do those three things: provide, protect, and lead, and for women to help and to bear children. And we see that in the very beginning. And these things are good. These things are a blessing. This is God's good design before sin ever entered in. We see in our culture that we are supposed to rejoice in these things that I just said. But in our culture, these things have been made out to be evil. The opposite is true in our culture. Men are unintelligent, lazy, and it's funny. I mean, I haven't watched sitcoms in a while, but I can remember the ones I did. The fathers are lazy. Irresponsible, out of touch with their families, and it's funny. It's supposed to be funny and okay. The women are the ones who are in charge and responsible and taking care of the family, and they rule over their husbands. And to stand and say that no, that's not God's design. That's not how it was meant to be. That is extremely offensive to our culture. But we need to be able to say that, not only say that, but live that and show that and be examples of this. And the problem is that culture has crept into the church where even speaking this in a church service can be controversial and offensive. But we find these truths in the very beginning in Genesis, but we also find them in the New Testament in Ephesians. So turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 27. Wives, be subject to your own husbands, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. And so again, we see it in the beginning, before the fall. We see it in the New Testament here in Ephesians, and it says the same thing. Wives are to be subject to their husbands. Wives are to be helpers to their husbands in their leadership, in their roles. I mean, another way to put it, wives are to submit, to obey. The husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. Head being supreme or chief. And in verse 33 of Ephesians 5, it says, wives, respect your husbands. Husbands are told, love your wives. Wives are told, respect your husbands. Again, we have to have empathy, because this has been distorted. It's been corrupted. Satan has been working to corrupt this from the very beginning. He has had marriage and family in his crosshairs since Adam and Eve ate the fruit. So this is terribly, terribly distorted. And there is a lot of hurt and damage done because of it. And so we don't just go straight here. And I have to this morning because we're looking at these scriptures. But if you are struggling and hurting because of the distortion that Satan has caused, please talk to someone. Talk to someone. Bring it before the Lord. Certainly pray about it, but find someone you can trust to help you to bring healing in this hurt. There's more empathy we got to have. There's some of you out there that are longing to be married. You are wanting to be married, and you've prayed for it. You've desired it for years. You want a godly wife. You want a godly husband to share these things with. And this is hard for you to hear this because you've been praying about it and desiring it for so long. And you're still waiting. We need to have empathy too. Say, we understand that it's hard. And we're praying for you. But don't settle. Don't settle. Don't just say, that's good enough. I'm tired of waiting. This'll do. Don't settle. Wait. The Lord hears your prayers. He knows the desires of your heart. Be steadfast and wait for the Lord's provision in that area. So these are very... This is touchy because there has been so much pain that has been caused by marriages and so much corruption. But let's dig in a little deeper what the Lord's design was in these things. Husbands are to be the head of the marriage. You are to be the spiritual leaders, the providers, the protectors of your family. You are to be the captain of your family, the commander, the pastor. This is the Lord's will and calling from Scripture. The wife, the children are to respect you. But as a husband, your role is to be respectable. And I've said this before, but respectable means easy to respect. You are easy to respect. You're not like, this is how it is, this is how it's going to be, like it or not, this is what we're doing. That's not being easy to respect. A good leader doesn't lead that way. A good leader, a respectable leader, seeks to listen. Look, this is what I'm thinking. This is what Scripture teaches right here. This is what I believe the Lord is leading us to do. What do you think about this? What are your thoughts? Because I want you to be in agreement. I want you to agree with this decision. And if we can't agree from the Scripture, if we can't agree on this, then we're not doing it. A good leader, a respectable leader, is looking at the Scriptures and seeking to be in agreement with God, in agreement with the spouse, but a good leader is going to be following Christ. What did Christ do? How do I follow Him? How do I be obedient to His Word? But he listens to the thoughts and the concerns of his wife. He listens to the thoughts and concerns of his children. He's not dominating and prideful. He's easy to respect. The children want to follow him because they know that he loves them. The children want to follow his lead because they trust that their dad is trying to do the best thing possible for them. The wife wants to do the same for the same reasons. Ladies, if you are desiring and waiting for a husband, don't settle. Wait for that man that will do these things. Don't get impatient. Trust the Lord. He knows your heart. Keep waiting. We know it's hard. We're praying for you. But don't settle. Do not settle for less than a respectable, godly man who fears God. A man like that he's going to be a spiritual leader for you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to protect you. He's going to seek to honor you. He's going to seek to honor your parents. He's going to seek to honor your church. He's not going to be perfect. All right? He won't be perfect. But his heart, his motives will be towards those things. Just be patient. The scriptures say there in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives. I'm focusing on you husbands today. As Christ loved the church, as husbands and fathers, our love should be an example and model of our Lord's. The goodness of our God's love, our love for our wife and our children should be a reflection of that. Our love for our spouse should be a reflection of Jesus' love for His church, who He died on the cross for so that His church could be forgiven of sins, sanctified, cleansed. Without spot or wrinkle, holy and blameless. I mean, that's what we are as children in God. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church means that you take responsibility for the sanctification of your wife. You take responsibility for the holiness of your wife. You take responsibility that there would not be a spot or wrinkle or blemish in your wife. To love her the same way that Christ loved the church. If your wife is anxious or worried or fearful or doubting, as the husband, I'm going to take responsibility for those things. I'm going to be so responsible for my wife that when she gets mad, I'm going to think, Lord, is there something that I did wrong? Lord, is there something I need to do? How can I help my wife right now so that she will be happy and have peace and trust and be where she needs to be? How can I take the burdens off of her? If she's going down like a plane out of control, just going down, I'm going to take responsibility for that as the captain of the ship of this family. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to love her and encourage her and pray for her and fast and do all that I can to bring her back out. And some of you out there might say, how dare you say that? You don't know the situation. You don't know how bad it was. You don't know what that person was doing. And there are situations like that. But this should just go to say it is absolutely the most important decision you'll make in your life, who you will marry. And we need to tell our kids that over and over again. Look, that is aside from salvation and faith in Christ, who you marry is going to be the most life-changing, affecting decision you make. And you better choose wisely. Because you're going to be responsible for the spiritual well-being and health and flourishing and holiness of that woman. Girls, you're going to be responsible to obey and respect and follow the lead of that man. The most important decision you make in your life is that is a godly man who fears the Lord and loves the Scriptures and is in agreement with the Scriptures. And if he's not, he's going to repent and he's going to do all that he can to be in agreement with the Scriptures. And I've said this, and I tell people, Pastor Bob, you told me that was the best decision I made in my life, was marrying Julie. And I knew it the day that I married her, and I know it even more now. Amen. And I want Julie to know that I love her. Julie's 9 weeks pregnant right now. And she has got a lot of just not feeling good. And rather than sit and study that stack of books and bring a polished, perfect message to you right now, I want Julie to know that I love her. And I'm going to take the burdens off of her so that she can rest right now. Julie, what can I do? And I'm not saying I'm perfect. And there's not complaints in my head when I'm washing the dishes. But then I soon realized, Lord, thank you. Thank you for leading me and helping me to be right here. And for Julie to be able to be resting right over there. And these things that I'm talking about for husbands doing this are impossible apart from the grace of God and His power working in us to do these things. So many broken marriages, broken homes, broken families. So much heartache, so much generational sin that goes from one generation of brokenness in family to the next generation of brokenness and the next generation of brokenness, and it just keeps going. But because of the gospel, because of Jesus' mighty work of salvation, faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior breaks that and stops that generational sin. It stops right there. And at that time, you are given the power of God to have a godly marriage, to be a godly husband that leads respectably so that your family wants to follow you and respect you. or to be a godly wife that helps and encourages her husband and follows his lead and trusts the Lord to guide him. We're going to talk about parenting and children later in more messages. And who knows, maybe we need to come back to this subject again. There's books and books written about marriage, and we just scratched the surface. But we must know that salvation in Jesus Christ gives us forgiveness of our sins, and it gives us the power to do these things that the Scripture teaches. Rather than focusing, and maybe you've already been doing this because I haven't said this yet, rather than focusing on all the mistakes that you've made, and Satan loves to take us there. He takes me there. Man, you messed up again, Matt. You messed up again. You just prayed about this and asked the Lord to help you, and you messed up again. But forgetting what lies behind and looking forward to what lies ahead, we come before the Lord and we say, "Thank you, Lord. You have given me your Spirit. You have given me your power to do the right thing right now and love my wife and take the burden off of her. Lord, you've given me your Spirit and power to trust you and to follow my husband right now, even though I don't agree, but I trust that you're going to work in his heart." You know, I opened up a big can of worms here. I'm just realizing something else I need to say. But we can't use these things as daggers to stab each other with. Oh, you're not doing your biblical role, stab you with this dagger in my words. Lord, help me to do my role. And you really can't change your wife or your spouse's heart. It's got to be the Lord that does that. And so you pray. I mean, the best example that I could think of for the ladies as far as following your husband in leadership is how when Julie and I were first dating and we were with students and walking back to our car from a play, and I walked right past our car, and Julie knew that. But she wanted to follow my lead. We're just dating at this time. And so we walked a while past it. And I finally realized, like, I think Naomi was with us too. I finally realized, like, where in the world is the car? And Julie, not condemning, not belittling, just said, "Oh, you know what? We passed it back there." And at first I was like, "Well, why didn't you say something, you know?" I felt so stupid. But later on I realized, like, wow. Number one, I need to be more alert and responsible as a leader, because Julie's going to follow me. And rather than being embarrassed and upset about it, I was thankful. I'm like, man, she's really going to encourage me in this. And if you know Julie, you know. My mom knows. She takes after her dad. And her dad is a commander. He tells people what to do and they do it. And if they don't, they're fired. He is a strong commander. And Julie's strong too, and she has many administrative gifts. But praise God, she still encourages me to be a leader. And I make mistakes at times. She's not perfect. I'm not perfect. But God will help us to do these things right. You know, I didn't want to take all the time because these are a few of the things that I have learned that have helped me. But I do want to let you hear from those who have been married a lot longer than me. And so even though we're going to go over a little bit right now, this is important. And so I've asked, and I wanted to focus on those who have been married a long time. We're going to be celebrating Pastor Bob's birthday this month. He'll be 80, but Pastor Bob and Bertha are also going to be celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary here soon. And so praise God for that. And Pastor Bob, I'd like for you just to share. I'm sure there's a lot that you'd like to share, but to share what they need to hear right now. Mike, I've asked Mike, Dennis, Beth, Renette. Would any of you like to share, maybe clean up the mess a little bit that I just kind of threw up? You know, that I invite that too. And anyone of those want to share a few words? Yeah, Pastor Bob, thank you. I know you've been thinking of some things. I've been watching you sitting down there. Mm-hmm. I made a lot too.
I want to speak first of all to men. When we see the requirements in God's Word for us as husbands, it's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It's just overwhelming.
It is.
When you stop and you really consider it, it's just... I don't think there's a man who ever lived when it comes to relationship with his wife and family that doesn't at some point in time feel like he's failed. Mm-hmm. In one way or another. If there's a man present who thinks he hasn't, let him talk. Mm-hmm. But as long as I've lived, I've never met that man yet. Mm-hmm. So, in my 30s, I heard something that helped me greatly. That encouraged me in my position leading my home. It came in a conference, but it was spoken to me. Mm-hmm. And I like to speak it to men. Especially men who have very strong wives, who are very spiritual. Very strong relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. How can I be the spiritual leader of my home? Mm-hmm. She knows more Bible than I'll ever know. Huh? Especially to men who are relatively young in the faith. Mm-hmm. So what is it? How do I get qualified to be a spiritual leader in my home? Do I have to get all this stuff done before I can be the spiritual leader? Now that was something that was disturbing me. And what I heard in that conference that weekend was this. To be the spiritual leader of your home, men, here's the qualification. Are you moving towards God? That's it. If you're moving towards God, you're qualified. That brought such peace to my heart and relief from some condemnation. Mm-hmm. So I want to speak that to the men. You're qualified to lead on the basis, are you moving towards God? Then I want to speak to the young people and the children in the church right now. I'm going to say a little bit about this tonight in our study in Genesis, but in most cases, God's plan and God's will for your life is that you be married. Did you hear what I said? In most cases, the great majority, God's plan and God's will for your life is that you be married. And you can't wait till you get married to get prepared for it. Mm-hmm. It's too late then. So you are preparing for it right now. You don't know it, but you are. How you are living, what you're doing right now is preparing you for that day and that time. Mm-hmm. And to children and to teenagers, your relationship to your mother and your father will determine the direction of your marriage. Yes, it will. Amen. Young men, you better be learning how to treat women now. Right now. Not then. Now. Mm-hmm. You better be learning within the framework of your own family. Your mother, your sisters, this is preparatory for that day. Mm-hmm. Young women, you better develop a correct relationship with your father. You better be learning right now how it is to recognize the vast difference between male and female. And there are huge differences. We're going to talk about a few of them tonight. Right now, what's going on in your life? You must learn how to adjust to the relationships that are in your life right now. And those are preparatory for that moment in time. I told my sons before they married, above all things, young men, marry a woman who has a good, solid relationship with her father. Because if she doesn't have a good relationship with her father, she ain't going to have one with you. Mm-hmm. Very true. So what's going on in your life right now is very important. One last thing.
Please.
Is it okay?
Absolutely.
The greatest conflicts in marriages come from expectations.
Amen.
A man goes into marriage with certain expectations. And when those expectations aren't met, trouble. A woman goes into a marriage with expectations. He's going to be this, he's going to do this, and he did. And expectations kill marriages. So what do? You give them up. Yeah. This is humorous, but it's true. A wife or a young lady will go into a marriage with the expectations that that young man will change. And he doesn't. A young man goes into a marriage with the expectation that this beautiful young wife will stay the same. And she doesn't. And the Civil War begins. These expectations have to be dealt with. They have to be surrendered. And each has to begin to have God's expectations for that person. These will be good sermons. I'm glad you're bringing them to us, Pastor.
I'm glad.
Thank you.
I'm glad you brought that, Pastor Bob. Good job. Good cleanup. Anyone else? Dennis, Beth, Renette? Want to share, just like Pastor Bob started out, something that you've heard that's helped you in your marriage that will help everyone else. Renette, you've got something, don't you? Here.
I think I've been like Julie. My character traits and Mike's are opposite of what we normally think. And I've had to learn to temper what I say and when I express myself. And I think that's a key. Like Bob says, we each have our roles, and we need to do our roles according to biblical principles. And sometimes that's the opposite of what the world says to do.
Good. Thank you, Renette. Anyone else? No? 52 years. We just celebrated last Sunday. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for...
You know what? I'll say something.
Bertha, yes. Good.
Okay. I'm not good at things I haven't planned, and this was spontaneous. But I was always a better math student than anything else. And I think if something's important to you, you'll figure it out. And if a person's important to you, my husband's important to me, we care about each other. And but we had to figure it out. And I think we've both done that. And you have to have this vital relationship with the Lord where you're set on doing everything he says. And you're going to figure out how to do that. He says, love your husband, love your wife, and everything else you said, you know. I think when he put Adam in the garden and he said, now go cultivate it and take care of it, I think he had to figure, he probably taught him things, but a lot of it I think he had to figure out.
Sure.
And so I just think if you care about someone or if you're working at someone, because a marriage is like the scripture says, work out your salvation. I've saved you, now work it out. You know, do what I say. Figure out how to do what I require of you, and all will go well. So I think, as everyone was talking, I thought, this is kind of the bottom line for me. It's a wonderful thing, but it won't stay wonderful unless you figure out how to keep it that way. Okay?
Yeah. And let's go ahead and close in prayer. And I'll pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you so much, Lord. We rejoice that we're your children and that our sins are forgiven and that our names are in the book of life. And God in heaven, thank you for that, Lord. Father, I thank you that mistakes that I might have made, what I said today, Lord, that you're still going to work. And you'll work on me and you'll work on everyone here. You know exactly how to work on every single person in here, Lord, to bring about your will and your good, Lord. So we praise you for that, Lord. And I thank you for those that shared also. But God in heaven, we thank you for the gift of marriage. And we thank you, Lord, that you forgive us of all the mistakes that we've made, Lord, and there are many. But you also give us the power to have a marriage that Lord, yes, honors you and glorifies you. So we worship you, Father. Thank you for helping us in that. Bless our fellowship time right now as we meet and as we go. Bless the study tonight, Lord. We pray that we can come and learn more about your good and perfect plan and design and the blessings that you've given us, Lord. And strengthen Pastor Bob. Bless him as he comes and shares that study tonight. And we love you, Lord. We worship you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.